We're in Philippians today, chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Children are dismissed for children's church. Philippians 2, verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Lord, on this Palm Sunday, as we think of those who gave adulation, laying palms before you as you came riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, Lord, we pray that the humility you showed in that action, the humility that is spoken of in this passage, would be such, Lord, that we would want to imitate you, that we would examine what this Palm Sunday means to us, how we should behave, how we should act, how we should respond, how we can be more like Jesus. In his name, amen. Brad Robinson tells about a minister in Texas. And this guy used a very creative visual image to start and aid his message. Now, I thought about asking Sharon if she might do this for me, but I decided to just use the example rather than the actual message like this pastor did. Well, he brought onto the stage, up near the pulpit, a beautiful golden Irish setter that belonged to the youth minister. And the youth minister loved this dog so much that when the dog had been sick and had to be in the vet kennel overnight, this youth minister spent the night at the vet kennel. Needless to say, this dog loved his master. And anybody that knows somebody that's got a dog knows the special relationship between master and dog. So this senior minister brings the dog onto the stage and he rolled a ball across the platform. And he said, "Fetch, Josh, fetch." But the dog just sat there. Wouldn't do a thing. And the minister then had one of his friends, a large bodybuilder, come up onto the platform. And this huge muscle man stood over the dog scowling and then growled, "Fetch, dog, fetch." But the dog would not fetch the ball for power. Then a banker came onto the platform, got out his wallet, and handed a whole bunch of bills in front of that dog's face and said, "Josh, if you get that ball, I'll reward you." But the dog would not fetch for money. Then the preacher said, "Well, let me try some peer pressure." So he had all the people stand up and join in unison. "Fetch, Josh, fetch! Fetch, Josh, fetch!" But the dog would not yield to peer pressure. The pastor then had a beautiful young woman with auburn hair about the color of the dog's hair come onto the platform, and she patted Josh's head, and with a sultry voice she said, "Josh, please get the ball for me." The pastor said he thought that he did see the dog flinch just a little, but he would not fetch for the wiles of a woman. And then finally he called the youth minister onto the platform and the young man who owned the dog. And this youth minister said, "Josh, go get the ball." And the dog bolted from his stance, retrieved the ball, gave it back to his owner. And after everybody had settled down, the preacher began his sermon by saying, "Now let me ask you, who are you fetching for?" Amen. Who are you fetching for? Who is your master? One of the great passages of Scripture that we've just looked at tells us who our master should be, tells us how we should behave, says that our attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And what is an attitude? It's a way of life. It's how you think. It's what you do. Hey, check your attitude. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being found in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in his appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There is no question from this passage who Jesus was fetching for. He was fetching for his Father, who had given him a task, who had assigned him a responsibility, who had laid a path before him that was not easy, that was difficult. The Scriptures say that he became obedient to death. Okay, death's not a great thing. Okay, I'll do it. Even death on a cross. Humiliating death. The death where everybody's looking and watching, and it's painful and it's long and it's torture. So he was willing to do that when he didn't have to. He could have at any second, at any moment, asked the angels to deliver him from any of that time on earth. And yet he did not. He did not, because he knew his calling. He knew the course laid out for him. He knew who he was and who his master was. You know, obedience is not easy. But Jesus was obedient to God. He was obedient in life. He was obedient in death, even death on the cross. And I'm going to tell you something. Obedience is not a trait that is easy to learn. And yet that hymn says, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Truth. Trust, we talk about all the time. Obedience, we do not talk about as much. And as we think about how it is, why it is that a dog is obedient to its master, why it is that we should be obedient to the God who gives us life and breath. Margaret Provost in Today's Christian Woman tells about her 3-year-old granddaughter, Beverly, who was playing with her toys. And her mom, who was folding laundry across the room, noticed that Beverly's shirt was dirty and needed to be changed. And after calling 2 times with no response, her mother gave her the full 3-name call. Beverly Elizabeth Provost, did you hear me? Beverly answered, yes, Mama. My ears did, but my legs didn't. Now, come on, all of you parents understand her answer. Obedience is not easy. Obedience is a trait that is not easily learned for children or for anyone else, particularly in our culture and in our nation today. Why do I say that it's harder in our culture? Well, I think all of you have noticed that there have been some radical changes that have been taking place in our culture concerning the role of obedience in the home. 1924, Helen and Robert Lynn conducted a famous research study called the Middletown Study. And the place was called Middletown not because it was in New York, not far away from us. No, it was a place chosen to represent an American mid-sized city that was average. And during the 20s, the Lynns asked mothers in Middletown, later revealed to be Muncie, Indiana, which traits they most emphasized in rearing their children. These mothers from the 20s reviewed a list of qualities and selected the following three as the most important for their children to learn. Number one, loyalty to the church. Number two, strict obedience. Number three, good manners. Church, obedience, good manners. 1920s. The qualities rated lowest: independence, tolerance, social mindedness. 1978. We haven't even done the survey in 2014. 1978, the sociologists returned to the same place to survey a new generation of mothers. And when they asked the same question, the more modern mothers selected the following three choices as their most positive traits: independence, tolerance, social-mindedness. The qualities they rated lowest were good manners, loyalty to the church, and strict obedience. The 78 survey completely reversed the 1924 survey. Now, in the 20s, mothers showed a strong preference for conformity. This is what our scripture is about. We need to be conformed to the image of Christ. The Bible makes it clear what we need to be, but our culture has left that idea. It has left that idea and has left us picking up the pieces. The baby boom mothers, diametrically different in their child-rearing goals. They opted for traits that were linked to autonomy. That says so much to me about today's society. Obedience near the bottom, independence at the top. And we wonder why we've got so many self-centered folk that care about nobody else but themselves, and it has pervaded and infected everybody. Our society, our culture, our nation, who has adopted this, is out of step with the Lord Jesus Christ, is out of step with Philippians 2. A do your own thing society is not the Jesus way. The Jesus way is do God's thing. That's the personality that we're supposed to have. Our society says, hey, look out for number one. As you go home today, you'll probably see the example four or five times, even if they are disobeying the law. Jesus says, look out for the least and the lowest. Our society heralds independence. I did it my way. But Jesus tells us there is another way. He says you were created for interdependence. Let's do it God's way. And the reality is that Jesus was obedient. The obedience of Christ is the very foundational essence of our ability to have salvation. And if we cannot learn obedience, we can have all kinds of great traits. I'm telling you right now, my son's got a dog. That dog is an interesting, amazing dog, and that dog has gotten big. Now, when the dog is at home, as I'm told, with just mom and dad and the boys, basically the dog is very good. But the dog gets extremely excited and disobedient when other people are around the house. Now, he's not a barker, but he's a jumper, and when he's a big dog, he will knock you down. Now, I took him for a walk away from the party that my grandson was having for his number two birthday. That dog was perfect. That dog obeyed me. I had to use a little leash. Okay, we don't have a dog. We're not getting a dog. Oh good, Lucy's not here. She doesn't want a dog, so if I'd said we were, there'd be a real problem. But the bottom line, the obedience reality changes everything. Ben had to put the dog in the cage because he would have been jumping over everyone at the party, ruining everything. The dog needs to come to the place where when the master says no, obey, no jump, that's it. Some of us have seen dogs like that, and we look in amazement as they are able to take the pressure and all of the things that are surrounding it, and they still obey because obedience is ingrained in them. And we need to re-ingrain it into our psyches because it's being let out. We watch other people and we live in this area and we experience what we experience and we start becoming conformed to the drivers in the area. We start becoming conformed to some of the things that are happening, and without realizing it, we are not being who we should be. I want to tell you that Jesus was obedient to God. Philippians 2 makes that clear. Now, obedience comes out of having a vital mission, and I want you to see that here as well today. We need to be obedient, but we also need to have a vital mission. When you're driven by a mission, when you're driven by a great purpose, obedience comes naturally. You want to reach out. You want to make a difference for good and for God. You are obedient to Him. If you stand before Him and you say, Lord, I want to obey You. What do You want me to do? And He says, whatever it is He says, we need to be willing to obey, even though it is counterintuitive to the culture, counterintuitive to us. That? You want me to trust You so much that I'll obey going down that road? I'm scared. I don't think this is going to work out. It's never worked out for me before. The mission that God has given us, the mission that He has given the church, has not changed since He came to this earth over 2,000 years ago. We are to proclaim the good news of the gospel until He comes back. And if you have a mission, and if you have a love for God, which becomes your purpose, obedience to Him comes naturally. Now, you may not see yourself as an obedient person. In fact, you may view yourself as quite a free spirit. And that's well and good. I'm not saying you shouldn't be that. You may have been raised by one of those more modern Middletown moms. I have to say, I was not. And my children were not. Emphasis on independence, tolerance, social-mindedness, important qualities, but obedience, submission to God. And even so, there are people that have come through those experiences of being raised in those families, and because of their commitment to Christ, they have been able to find the way of obedience and find that that actually brings joy. What is the acronym we always were taught in Sunday school? Where does joy come from? Jesus. Others. Yourself. Yourself is not number one. Jesus is number one. Others are second. Yourself is last. This is not what we are teaching our children today. This is not what is coming out of our culture today. And because people have not learned the art of obedience and they are not being obedient to God and God's word, the Bible, it's all being thrown out. Obedience is not in vogue. Anyone who sets out to achieve a lofty goal and sees it through to success learns obedience. There is no other path to success. Now, you may have the goal of being a great mom or dad, and You soon learn that you no longer live in a do-your-own-thing world. There are some responsibilities you have to make that make it necessary for you to defer your own desires. If you have children, it changes everything. It changes who creates your priorities. And I'm saying that child rearing is one of those areas where it just changes everything. It takes things off the table that were on the table. You're not going here and there. You're not going to have a vacation here or there because you have responsibilities that you have to care for, that you have to train up, that you have to provide for, and that means that there are things that are not going to be there for you. You may want to start a great new business. How do you become successful? I'm going to tell you right now, the best businesses are those who are obedient to their customers' expectations. Why do you think all these places have all these surveys now? Because they want to hear what you have to say, and they want their employees and their stores to do what makes them more money. They figured out that if they can follow what you want, if they can be obedient to the majority who are giving them feedback, they are going to have greater success in business. You discover a personal discipline when you're in a business that you never knew you had. And that is true, my friends, of attaining anything that is important in life. You may think of yourself as a free spirit, but if you are successful at anything important, you will find that a day will come when you have to learn to be obedient. In the same way, Christ was obedient because he had a great mission. That mission was to reconcile the world to God. He had to die on the cross to save us from our sins. As a result of his death on the cross, we are his children if we accept him into our hearts. He saved us from the power of sin and death. And so in the Garden of Gethsemane, as we spoke last week, he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." In Paul's words, he became obedient, as we said today, even obedient to death on a cross. Because of his great love for us, and because of his great love for God, Christ was obedient. Now let me ask you a question today, because at the end of the day, we talk about Palm Sunday, and usually I'll go to that passage and talk about how the fickle crowds were. They sing Hosanna to him, and just a couple of days later, a crowd outside yells, "Crucify him." And we've got to wait till the resurrection. People are fickle. We need to ensure that we are obedient to God. Some of you are great parents. You've learned to be obedient and do the things that are necessary for successful parenting. Some of you are excellent in your profession or in business or in school. You've learned to be obedient to the rules and regulation that govern success in the business world and in school. Now that's great. I salute you. Obedience is never an easy trait to acquire, and it is becoming more and more difficult for our young people to acquire because they are not seeing it by example. They are not being taught it by their parents. They are not being given it by the culture. And so it is an uphill push. '83. Got the Final Four coming up here pretty soon. In 83, it was one of the great stories of sports history when the late Jim Valvano took a supposedly undermanned North Carolina State team, and he won the NCAA championships. Their foes were the Houston Cougars. And they were famous. They were famous for their up and down style of play. They ran up and down the court and seemed to score at will. NC State was a more traditional team. They played a slower form of the game. They made great passes. They took good shots. They hadn't rushed anything all season. And before the championship game that ended a Cinderella season, Valvano was asked about his game plan against the high-powered number one ranked Houston. And he said, "We might not shoot the ball till Thursday." He was saying that his team would play a slow-down game against the high-octane offense that was their opponents. But when the game started, the Wolfpack actually came out running up and down the court, which caught Houston totally off guard. They didn't know what they were seeing. They were shocked. And then in the second half, North Carolina State slowed it down, which again caught Houston off guard. They wound up winning. Why? They wound up winning because their coach had a great game plan, and the players bought into that plan. They were overmatched because their talent was nowhere near the level of Houston. And they were asked to play a style of basketball that was not customary to them, but the players believed in their coach. They believed in Valvano's game plan, and they executed it magnificently. And you want to know something? They won. Their obedience to their coach's plan yielded success. Did you know that God has a game plan for the world? It is that one day, the kingdom of God will be such that people are put in a place where they choose. They choose yes to Jesus. God wants everyone to love him, everyone to accept him. He wants a day that every child on earth, that God will know his love and know his peace. He has told us in this scripture today that there is a day in his plan where every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The question is, after that knee goes down and after that bowing happens, where do you end up? If you're going to be part of the plan that Jesus has to change the world, to bring salvation to a culture, to a country, to a people who need Jesus more than ever, we need to buy in wholeheartedly to his plan found here in Philippians. And we need to live our lives accordingly. I agree with the plan, yep. But if you don't play it on the game, if you don't put it forth on the court, it's not going to yield success. It's got to be more than in your head. It's got to be in the way you live your life. In the opening today, we told the story about an obedient Irish setter named Josh, who responded in obedience to his master's voice and asked, we asked the question, "Who are you fetching for?" In other words, we were asking, who is your master? To whom are you obedient? These are the questions that we as the people who follow the Lord Jesus Christ must answer every single day by our choices, by our actions, by our words, by our deeds. And that's why it was so wonderful to experience people from outside of our fellowship that came to visit us. They came to visit us because we were obedient to God, reached out and said, "Lord, we're going to put forth an effort in order that your name would be glorified." For those who participated, it wasn't easy, but they were obedient to a call to say, this is what we believe God has asked us to do. That simple act of obedience provided the gospel of Jesus Christ to people who needed it. Isn't that what we are about as a church? Isn't that who we are supposed to be as people? You have a choice. Each and every day that you get up, to choose that day who you will serve. It's my prayer that you would be obedient to God and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, obedience. Obedience, Lord, is so easy to understand, but so easy to live out. We need to trust and obey. Help us to do that as people. Help us to do that as a church. Even though we have to go against the grain, Lord, help us like you to pray, not my will, but thine be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn in our hymnals to our closing.